Brothers and sisters, I'm really excited to be here this afternoon because I get to share with you the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord's Day 13 in the Heidelberg Catechism looks at that at those words which say, "Why do you call him our Lord?" Those words in the Apostles' Creed that say that we are bound to Christ. And there's a beautiful answer there. But in connection between looking at what it means for Jesus to be Lord, let's look at Romans chapter 6. Please turn to Romans 6. We're going to begin at verse 15. This is the word of the Lord. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to be reading all of Lord's Day 13, but our focus will be on question and answer 34. It's page 877. Why is he called God's only begotten Son when we also are God's children? Because Christ alone is the eternal natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace for the sake of Christ. Why do you call him our Lord? Because, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has delivered and purchased us, body and soul, from sin and from the tyranny of the devil, to be his very own possession. I ask you to keep the catechism open. I'll be referring to it as well as Romans chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. The date is May 8th, 1945, Holland. Whispers fill the air as the news spreads across the land. You can hear as the news comes from household to household. You can hear the excited chatter in the air. People, they begin to trickle out onto the streets. Before long, you hear the noise. Is that shouting? Cries of joy erupt across the whole land. Why? Because Holland has been liberated from Nazi rule. See, after the last 5 years, the Dutch people had been living under oppression. The Nazis had put the minorities into concentration camps, forced the Dutch into hardship. They had food shortages. So you can just imagine the joy of the people. They've been set free, delivered. Yet the price of this freedom was costly. It was not too long ago that we remembered the Canadian soldiers who died. 13,000 were involved in the liberation. 13,000 Canadian soldiers, that is. Freedom bought with blood. Now, in Lord's Day 13, we are directed to a slavery. It's a spiritual oppression in which mankind finds himself in. And in order to free us from our slavery, there was a cost. It was costly, nothing less than the precious blood of the Son of God. We're going to be focusing on our freedom through the precious blood of Jesus Christ under the following theme, set free by our Lord's precious blood. First, we're going to look at our slavery under sin. And the second, we're going to turn to see our freedom through Jesus Christ. Now, the message of the Catechism can really be summarized with two key words. If you look at the Catechism, he has delivered us and purchased us. Other words, you could say he has set us free and ransomed us. And then the question arises, what has he set us free from? What has he purchased us from? See, this Catechism, it assumes quite an uncomfortable truth. The uncomfortable truth is that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible describes us as being under some kind of captivity, slavery, bondage. Now, this is definitely not the way we think here in North America. In the West, it's all about freedom, about rights. I do what I want to do. Whenever I want to do it, I'm calling the shots in my life. And no one can get in my way, especially the church. We like the idea of freedom. Yet the Bible teaches the opposite. Without Jesus Christ, man, he is not the free Western man. He is a slave. This wasn't only offensive to our modern ears. In Jesus' day, John chapter 8, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." And how did the Pharisees reply? "We are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone." And Jesus replies, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. To practice sin, to live in sin, to continually make your lifestyle one which is against God's will, it is to make sin your habit, to be content in sin. And the Bible says, you're in some kind of slavery if you do that. You're in a bondage. And the Catechism, it directs us to two particular slavers, two forces which would keep us in captivity. Look there. First we have from sin. He has purchased us, body and soul, from sin. And secondly, from the tyranny of the devil. Now, one of the strongest pictures of our slavery to sin comes in Romans chapter 6. See, in Romans chapter 6, the Romans, they thought, well, we're believers in Jesus Christ. We've been set free. We're God's people. Therefore, we have a license to sin, right? We can sin. And Paul here responds with this shocking image. Look there, Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? You're a slave. A slave? Well, that's a pretty familiar image to the Roman Christians. See, everyone knew in the ancient world that if you were in a desperate situation, you were in debt and you needed help, you could find a wealthy patron. You could present yourself to this patron in hope that he would purchase you as his slave. Maybe some of the Christians in Rome had actually done that themselves. And the argument that Paul is making is, if you present yourself, if you go and find that slave master, that wealthy patron, and his name is sin, and you present yourself to him, you become his slave. And they had done that at one time. You see the result of that, verse 19. For just as you presented, or once presented, your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, impurity, wickedness. Verse 21 says that they were even ashamed of what they had used to do. They were in bondage to sin. Now, to be in bondage to sin is to pursue your own passions. It's when we go down each morning, we go down to the market and we find that slave master, his name is sin, and we present ourselves to him. Look, sin, here I am. And when we do that, we can indulge in every sexual fantasy that we like, sexual desire. When we give ourselves over to this sin, well, any entertainment is on the cards. We can indulge in anything that we desire. Brothers and sisters, to be content with presenting ourselves to sin, to serving sin, is to disregard Christ. He is not our Lord when we do that. So is there a secret sin keeping you in bondage? Are you complacent in sin? If Christ is not Lord, we are slaves to sin. But secondly, the Catechism mentions that we are also in bondage to the devil. By nature, we are in league with Satan. One of the clearest pictures we find of that is in Ephesians chapter 2. If you could turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Dead in our trespasses, followers of the prince of the air, in the domain of darkness, following whatever passions we liked, Now, we can make fun of the devil. He is some red cartoon character. It says he's the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world. He strives to enslave, and he wants you to follow the dark, futile ways of your fathers. Whatever the culture's doing, go ahead. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, ready to devour. He dangles treats that are appealing to us right in front of our faces, but inside are deadly hooks. And one of the great lies that he tells us, brothers and sisters, is he wants us to think that there is some possibility of us living a somewhat okay life apart from Jesus Christ. He wants us to think, well, yeah, you can just go home this afternoon. And you can know deep down that there is some area of your life which is not in submission to Christ. He is not Lord of. And the devil says, well, yeah, that's okay. You just keep that. Just go ahead, serve sin when no one is looking. Brothers and sisters, slavery to sin and to the devil are real. When we serve these masters, we shall earn wages. Verse 23, the wages of sin is death. See, the Romans, they claimed that they had this freedom to sin because they were God's people. Freedom in Christ, license to sin. And Paul says, no, there are only two possibilities. You can either serve sin or righteousness. Sin or Jesus. Either Jesus Christ is Lord and you're committed to living for him and submitting yourself to his will. This doesn't mean you're perfect. But it means that you throw yourself at Jesus' feet each day and say, I do want to do your will. Or you hold on to worldly pleasure. You cling to the chains of sin until they drag you into the pit of hell. Jesus must be Lord. Unless he is Lord, you are under spiritual slavery and none can free you. Not nice words, not friendship. Not coffee socials, not self-help, not nominal Christianity. He must be Lord. Only the gospel, which is the power of salvation to all who believe, only the gospel, which is he must be Savior, but he must be Lord. Only that can free us. So will we allow our shackles to be broken? Whatever is enslaving us, that area in our life, will we allow our shackles to be broken by the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you present yourselves to him as Lord? Let's look at what that means, how the Lord actually gives us freedom and that we have freedom under Christ. But it was necessary to lay the foundation of what we were freed from, that we see the beautiful truth in Lord's Day 13, what it really means to be a Christian. I'm going to read question and answer 34 again. Why do you call him our Lord? Because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has delivered and purchased us, body and soul, from sin and from the tyranny of the devil, to be his own possession. We are enslaved by sin, by the devil. And then these words, beautiful words, delivered us, purchased us by the precious blood of Jesus. This is a message of freedom, brothers and sisters. This is what Jesus taught when he was in the synagogue and he revealed that scroll. He said, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Yes, we were in bondage, even worse than that. Because of our indulgence and because of our pleasure of sin, we had roused the holy displeasure and wrath of God against us. It weighed upon us. And the Old Testament teaches us, it taught us how we could turn away the anger of God. And we couldn't just pay God to look the other way, silver or gold. No, the cost was high. It was nothing less than the blood, than blood. And not just any blood, the blood of someone who wasn't a slave, someone who never went to that master whose name is sin and offered himself to him. And the cost was high, brothers and sisters. Though the cost was high, God said, I will pay it myself. He paid for our freedom. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, go free my people. And the son came into the world. He served righteousness all the days of his life. And this was hard. This was hard. There's many temptations to go and reject the Lord. Just think of him in the wilderness, hungry, tempted by the devil, Satan. And he says, and he responds with the word of God. His life was a life of not my will, but yours be done. It was hard, brothers and sisters. He knew the cost was high, but with tears he marched to the cross. He would pay the cost, the humiliating death for our sin. Now, this is unbelievable. No man would walk down to a market and say, I'll spend all my fortune on the most miserable item you have, on the most useless, worthless item that you have. No man would do that. Jesus, he did just that. He looked at us, miserable sinners. He said, he was moved with compassion. And he says, yes, I'll pay it all. Yes, even my precious blood. He laid down his life, purchasing us as a ransom. And through his precious blood, he broke the power of sin. The bonds which bound us were shattered by the hammer of the gospel, the hammer of the cross. Jesus Christ, he took Satan, the one who was dragging us down into hell, and he crushed his head. We looked at that this morning. Let my people go. Look at Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked, thanks be to God, that though you are slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free, delivered from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Set free from the power of sin. Set free from the power of Satan. Set free from the future of hell. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And brothers and sisters, we have a new Lord. Us who are redeemed by Christ, we have a master who loves us. He takes off the horrible, worthless rags and trades them in for his own robes of righteousness. When we have faith in him, he takes us into his loving arms. Don't worry, you're mine. You are my own possession. None shall snatch you from my hand. And the best part of this new life, verse 17, did you catch those words? It's easy to miss. You have come to obey from the heart. Do you see what God's doing? You have come to obey from the heart. Those old pleasures, that old way of life, you no longer desire those things. You have come to obey. There's something in you, something about your heart, which has changed and is changing. When the Holy Spirit enters, you are made to serve righteousness. You want to serve him, and you want to serve righteousness. Now, you may struggle. There will be temptations there. Well, you will struggle. But he is working in you to make you more and more like him. Yes, we need to serve Jesus Christ. We need to work out our holiness. But we leave it to him. He will change you. So do we want to know freedom, brothers and sisters? Do we want to know the freedom of the gospel? It is that he has not left us in our sin and misery. He has not left us to the cruel masters, our abusers, sin and Satan. Not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has delivered and purchased us, body and soul, from sin and from the tyranny of the devil to be his very own. Taken into his loving arms. Freedom. Such freedom, brothers and sisters, that could cause all the streets of Holland to shout with joy. To fill all our lives and hearts with joy. Let us then recognize on the one hand that apart from Jesus Christ, we are in this place of misery and oppression. But then on the other hand, rejoice. We have freedom bought with the blood of Christ. Let us say in our hearts again today, you are my Lord. To you I give you all things, Lord, even the secret parts. For when we have faith in him, we are set free from our master's precious blood, set free by our master's precious blood. Let's pray. Lord God, we cannot imagine how much we have displeased you. We cannot even comprehend the ways we have fallen short. We have lived in this slavery and in this oppression. By nature, we are children of wrath. But Lord, each one of us has been set free. We no longer are bound to the old way of life, to our original old nature. We have been set free, cleansed. All that we have done, which was rebellion against you, is no longer held against us. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom in Christ Jesus. Our hearts overflow with thanksgiving. We cannot imagine how you would choose to free us and that you would even pay the ransom yourself. But we know that you love us, that you have covenanted to love us, that your faithfulness transcends us and our performance. We thank you that even though we do battle with our sin, and although we are discouraged, it is you who justifies. It is you who justifies the ungodly. It is you who paves the way and gives us robes of righteousness. So we cling to you in faith alone, asking, Lord, would you give us assurance, full assurance of your love towards us. Lord, we pray now. Give us strength for the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.